Because, you know, I don't want to get married. I really don't. I'm hurt. I'm in process of healing. I don't want to get married. And you are not buying me paying for the school of my children. So I want to make this clear with you. And he was okay with that. And he said, well, if you don't want to get married, I don't want to get married. So we are good on that. So that was our first thing in common, was we're not going to get married. And the years passed. The years passed, and my children studied, and everything seemed okay. And Gary was always there, and always there, and always there. And I'm getting in the end. In 2008, I went to Brazil, and when I came back, they didn't allow me to come in the country because they said my documentation was wrong. There was some problem. I don't want to get into details of that. I had only 1 month to stay in this country, and then I will have to go back to get another visa. If you are curious about, I'm going to write my book, and you can buy it. Yes. So, Gary paid for all the expenses. And Gary came to me and said, look, if you have to be like 3 months in Brazil, why don't you go first to Portugal? Because he knew I had friends and family in Portugal that I didn't see for 35 years because most of my family went to Portugal and I came to Brazil. So he said, why don't you go there, spend a month there, and then you go to Brazil to deal with documentation? And so, okay, I go. It's not a problem. So I called my mom. My mom called all her friends in Portugal, all the family that were in Angola. I mean, everybody. And then I had connected with my best friend from Angola, and I discovered that in the internet, and I discovered she was in France. I was a week before I went to Portugal, and I was able to connect with her. And so she said, do you remember George? And I say, yeah. And she said, do you know he's alive and he's in Portugal? And I said, no. And she said, do you want his email? And I said, yes. So she gave me his email, and I said, okay, what am I going to do here? In that time, we were kind of date, not date, kind of a thing, right, baby? We didn't know what to do with ourselves. And Darlene watched us for all that period. They were like looking at us and saying, what these guys are doing here? Anyway. So I wrote an email to George. My heart was like, kind of, what it is crazy. I mean, I thought the guy was dead, and the stuff in my heart was crazy. And I wrote an email, like, very formal, because I didn't know if he even remembered me. So I wrote my email, I sent him, and 5 minutes later, he was answering me. And he said, I cannot believe I finally found you. For all these years, he was trying to find me, and he never was able to. So, you wanna go and wait for me in the airport? When I told him I was going to Portugal in a week, I'm going to be there in the airport. I said, don't do that. All my family and my parents' friends are going to be in that airport waiting for me. Please don't do it. Just let's meet. I want to see you next day. So I arrived in Portugal, and was just crazy. Was amazing. All my family was there at the airport, and was a very emotional time because we all had gone through the war. We all had gone through the same traumas, and finally to be able to see each other well, and we were crying and crying. It was amazing. The next day was the day to meet George, and I was waiting for him in the train station, And God began to tell me, because his train was delayed and he would keep calling me, "Are you there? Are you still there? Please don't go." Please. He was like crazy. And I said, "I'm here. I don't have anything to do. I'm here. That's okay. I'm going to wait." And God began to tell me how many times he waits for us. How many times he wants our presence and he wants us to go there just to be with him. Not to ask for anything, not to do anything, just to be with him. The excitement in George's voice, just to think that he would spend time with me, was so amazing. And he said, "I'm waiting for years and years for my people to come to me and spend time with me." So finally, George came, and it was really special because we didn't. The funny part was that when I saw him last time, was he had hair and he was skinny, 18 years old, and then I see him 50 years old, bald, and with a belly, and I said, "What happened?" You know, you have that fantasy, my first boyfriend, and suddenly, like, oh, nothing. Oh, gosh, you are old. You are really old. Anyhow, the thing was that we were able, God used that time, and later I went to spend actually the first year of the year, 2009, with his family. He's married, he's an architect, he has two children, and his wife had another children before, special care, special children, and he adopted his daughter. And the thing I told him was, "George, I just want to let you know that I was not wrong about you. You are a man of God." And so the amazing thing in that trip in Portugal was that each one of them, that my friends that I were my friends in Brazil, in Angola, the ones that survived, I was able to go house by house and testify the love of Jesus in their lives. And I prayed for them, and God used me to heal them, to heal their hearts, to tell them, "Look, it's okay to be happy. It's okay to live life," because most of them were stuck in the past, were stuck in the memories in Angola, were stuck with all my friends from Angola, and they were not able to make new friends. They were not able to continue on. And after 35 years, I went there house by house, and I loved on them. For was 1 month, I traveled north, south of Portugal. You don't have any idea the things I went through. Trains in the evening, going stuff. I mean, I would call Gary and say, "Gary, please pray for me. I was tired." But I would go by myself. I would go, and because I was focused in going and sharing his love, because I saw like an opportunity of putting the flames of God in those places. And I went back to Brazil. There I got a very, very strong infection on my leg. I had the appointment on the embassy to get another visa in the day before my birthday. And I was like walking in so much pain like that. And they denied the visa. They said, "Nope, you're not going. We're not giving the visa." And I said, "But my daughters are in the United States." And they said, "I'm sorry, they have to come back." So again, I called Gary and Ed, and they got a lawyer, and they put the package together, and then my prince went to rescue me. He went to Brazil. He went to Brazil, met my family, and the amazing thing was my son actually kind of said, "Mom, come on, he loves you. Don't you see that?" See, "I know, but I want more." And it was my father, my brother, and my son with me waiting for him in the airport. Look, my three musketeers waiting. So my son ran to him and called him dad. The first time he saw Gary. he ran to him and said, "Dad, good to see you." And they hugged each other for, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to think about. See, sometimes because you were so wounded in one area that you are so afraid to step out and decide. And I believe that when with Gary was the same. I had to have time to heal, and he has to have time to heal his heart too. And then when the time came, it was just so natural, was just there. I mean, today I cannot think about anybody else that I would ever marry but him. It's just in me, you know. And sometimes it's difficult for us. And I want to encourage you. If you are stuck in a position, in situations in your life that you are kind of, I don't know what to do, what's going on? And just spend that time with God. And He's going to lead you. And it's okay. Another thing that I discovered, it's okay to make mistakes. It's so okay to make mistakes, you know. And when you think about that, you are kind of free. You think, oh, okay. Because here, I believe that there's a culture in America that you cannot make mistakes. You have to be perfect. And I said, huh, God, do you send me here? Are you sure? Because I make mistakes all the time. So, not as much as I used to, right, baby? No, that's good. So basically, he went there, we got visa finally, came back, and when we arrived here, we decided, okay, let's get married, because this is not fun at all. So we got married. There's a lot of things going on. I did get my green card. My youngest daughter got her green card, but my older daughter didn't get her green card, because when we got married, she was already 18, and we were trying to figure out a way to make her stay in the country during the period that would be like 4 years, that we would be able until I get my citizenship and then she can get her green card. But this week we realized that she cannot get her religious visa, and it sounds like she has to go back to Brazil. That was a big thing for me. But you know what? I had a victory this week, because when she called me to say that the church that she is a children's pastor there would not be able to help her with religious visa, and she said, "Mom, what do you think I'm supposed to do?" And I said, "Just be happy. Just glorify the Lord, because I know that He is in control. And He can change like that. And I know that the way He has for you is much, much better and beyond our understanding. We cannot understand what He's doing. We cannot figure out everything we had to do. We did it. But right now, I'm just going to stand with you. And I'm going to worship my God. I'm going to say, Lord, it's all about you. Our lives belong to you. And I just want you, my daughter, to be happy. Because He has something very, very exciting for you. Let me tell you, some year ago or some, I would be crying. Like, oh, God, what are you doing? I think months ago I was doing that, right, baby? Yeah. But I chose to say, see, it's about choices in life. It's about choices. You have a choice to get stuck in that thing that is eating you, consuming you, or you have a choice to say, you know what? I'm going to do something in my life. I'm going to believe that my God has the best for me. I'm going to believe that God has a plan in my life. I'm going to believe that I am beloved. I am His son. I am His daughter. And He has everything good for me. And everything works for good for those who love Him. And I love Him passionately. So I'm going to believe on that and stand on that and be happy. You know, it's not about what happened in your life. It's about what you do with that. Yeah. You know, what do you do? There's that spirit, self-pity. I knew it for a long time. I used these stories that I just told you to say, oh, look at me, how poor I am. I don't want that anymore. Because I represent the love of God. I am a lover. I am His bride. And as His bride, I already have the victory. You know, I just have to go through the journey, but the victory is mine. Oh, He's mine. And He's yours. You know, and I don't care what Satan does or the demons do. I really don't care. I don't give nothing for them. I was going to say a word, but I'm going to say another word. I'm standing because I love Him, because I know He loves me. I know who He is in me and who I am in Him. That is the identity. Once you have that identity, 90% of the stuff goes away. You can go to the refrigerator of your dad and open the refrigerator and just get whatever you want because you are son and daughter. You know, and your picture is in the refrigerator. I can imagine that big refrigerator in heaven. Like big, 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 big. And picture, our pictures are there. That was a breakthrough that God did in my life because we don't have that tradition in Brazil. And when I came, there was a struggle in my heart about I would see the pictures of the family, Ed and Nancy's family, in that refrigerator. And my picture was not there. And I would cry and I said, Lord, one time when I have my refrigerator, it's going to be filled with pictures. And I want to be have a picture, my picture in your refrigerator. And happened. It happened. You know, you are part of the family. Your picture is in the refrigerator. Okay? Now, I wanna finish probably there are some people here that don't feel like they are the son and daughter of God. Probably because you messed up. Probably because you did something wrong. Probably because your dad or your mom never really compliment you. By the way, my relationship with my mom and my dad never were so good as it is today. The forgiveness is released. I talked with actually, the last time I went there, it was interesting that my son was bringing me to the airport and my mom began to weep in the car. Remember that, love? She was weeping and weeping. And I said, Mom, what's going on? And she said, could you please forgive me? I had forgiven her for a long time. But she said, could you forgive me? Could you forgive for every word I spoke against you? Could you forgive me for everything I made you do? Because of me, because of my selfish thing, because I was afraid, could you forgive me? And she would keep asking, could you forgive me? Could you forgive me? Could you forgive your father? Could you forgive me? And I just hugged her and said, Mom, you are the best mom ever in the world. And I already forgave you a long, long time ago. And my brother and my sister did the same thing. Because they didn't accept me when I said that I was coming to the United States. They didn't support me. It was interesting that a year after I came, my sister-in-law called me saying that my twin brother had brain tumor. And that time we were 45 years old, and I called him and I said, we are going to celebrate our 50th birthday together. We just did it, January. I went with Gary there. And he's alive, he's working back, and he's great. He's just amazing. And the doctors gave him 6 months, and he's already 5 years. Yeah! So, God is an amazing God. But today I just feel that our daddy just wants to love you. If you are going through a difficult time, if you need just feel His arms around you and loving on you, I want to invite you to come over here in front. And I'm going to ask my friend there to put that other CD, the number 7 and 8, music, just kind of low, please. And if you want to come over and receive prayer, is it okay, Pastor? I really want to pray for you. What I want to say is that my testimony is to honor Him. It's not about me. It's to honor Him. God is using me to go to the streets today. I go and I love on people, prostitutes, drunkards, and I'm going every Thursday night in Baltimore. And it's been amazing what God is doing. And it's all about Him. You have the privilege to come here to His house and have this family. And you are not alone. You are not alone. The few months that I've known Pastor John and Missy, I know they have the Father's love in their hearts. And you guys are so, so privileged to have Him, to have them as your pastors. And and I'm sure there are other people here that can help you. Just don't think you are alone. But if you do, and if you think that what you are going is really difficult, I want you to invite to come. Come here, and we are going to pray for you. And if you need healing in your heart, in your body, whatever, come here. And if you want to just soak, there's going to put some song there, and you can just be in His presence. And I want to thank you guys for having me here. Thank you, Pastor John. I don't know if you want to say something else or not.
I hate what the enemy does to people, but I love what God does for people. I love what God does to people. As we've said in the past, if you need to get up to go to the bathroom, or if you would like to go out, there are refreshments out in the fellowship hall. It's all in the house. Please help yourself. Just be at home in our home. But God has given us an amazing word today. I don't know what you're facing in your life right now, but I don't know if, I don't think it's as bad as having to escape bombs and bullets on your way to the mailbox. However, on the other hand, I'm not going to make light of some of the horrendous things that some of you guys are going through or have been through. And I'm sure that there are things that Dulce shared that are so close to home that when she was sharing them with you, you could barely contain yourself because you're like, oh my gosh, somebody knows what I'm going through. But God's promise to us is this, that through Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. If we will receive the grace that He has to give, He paid for that relationship with His own blood because He loves us that much. And if we will receive the power that He is able and willing to give in our lives, we can be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I don't care how dark the pit or how confusing or painful the place you find yourself in right now, His power is able to overcome those things, and His grace is more than sufficient if we will simply come and receive that from Him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Then praise God. Our Father wants to show us how powerful and loving He is. He wants to meet us right here, right now, whatever your needs are. So I would just invite you to come and receive, and we want to pray for you and just lavish God's love on you and see what a wonderful God we serve. Amen. So if we can go ahead and put on that music, and we'll just be here. We're here. Come on forward, and we would love to take the time to just pray God's grace and power into your life. If it's been an abortion, they'll share it, how God's power could overcome the guilt and the remorse of those things. If it's been a violation of some kind in which your soul was shredded and your emotions and your heart went through that horrible experience, God is able to heal that and restore. If it's a sense of powerlessness and you need power in your life to do what you know God is calling you to do and to live the way He's calling you to live, He is able to give that power. If it's wisdom you need, He's able to give that wisdom. So please don't miss this opportunity. If you've never received Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, do not miss this opportunity to do that. If you've never said, Lord, You died for me, I'll live for You, now's the day to make that choice. Thank You, Father.